Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12 p.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 1st. And after a little pause yesterday, stock markets have been a bit firmer. And if we just look at the futures markets, then we get a pretty good picture that we're still in a very steady market. That there hasn't been very there's been almost no sign of a clear downward dynamic anywhere. And this continues to remain a very positive environment for stocks. But nonetheless, the some of the large shares have been pausing in the region of this psychological 1,000 level. That's clearly Amazon has paused over the last four sessions, but it hasn't given up any of its gains. So there's still ample support here, and we haven't had anything in the way of a downward dynamic to confirm that this it has represented anything other than a brief pause in the region of a big psychological level. And Google is a pretty similar story. It is currently trading around $985. It did rather race to get up to 1,000, so it is likely to at least pause in this level. But so far, the despite the fact that we had a downside key reversal yesterday, there's no real follow-through in here today, and it was such a small one that it doesn't have the same psychological impact as something that would have had, like what we saw at the end of January, where it was a clear downward dynamic, we follow-through, and that did hold up the market at the minimum for the next 3 months. This is still a benign environment, and part of the reason that we are in such a benign environment is because of interest rate policy. This week, Mario Draghi has made no secret of his intention to continue with the ECB's quantitative easing program, and global liquidity is both global and mobile. So just because one central bank is creating liquidity does not necessarily mean that it stays in that particular jurisdiction, but rather that it goes out into the world and finds the most attractive assets. And there are a number of global indices that are breaking up and out of very long-term ranges. So while we can look at the Nasdaq and consider that as the clear leader, and it continues to push on towards the next big round number, which is 6,000, and I think that's probably where most people's eyes would rest when they look at the chart. There has been a distinct lack of volatility. There have been just a couple of one day, one hit wonder downward dynamics, but they have been quickly recouped, and then the index has moved to new highs. And in the absence of clear downward dynamics that are then that continue down in subsequent days, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, despite the fact that the overextension relative to the trend mean is getting increasingly wide. So from a short-term perspective, there's no great evidence that this very impressive run has run out of steam. But from a medium-term perspective, we have to also bear in mind that it will eventually run out of steam, and that we are going to have a reversionary process at some point. But there isn't any great deal of evidence that it has begun just yet. When we do look at some of those other indices that are breaking up and out of long-term ranges, then we need to look at monthly charts, because some of these ranges are incredibly long. And the FTSE 100 has now cleared the 7,000 level, and it had been ranging below that area since 1999. So this is the completion of what was a very lengthy range. The Taiwanese index has finally cleared 10,000. It's currently trading at 10,087, and I need to adjust the history to go back even further so that we can get all the way the big bull market that they had in the 1980s. I wanted to highlight that big bull market they had in the 1980s for one simple reason. There was another market that is a neighbor of Taiwan's that did spectacularly well around the same time, Japan. Taiwan was the first destination for Japanese offshoring. The two island nations have got rather strong historical ties. And it is interesting that the fact that Taiwan is now pressuring this 10,000 level, maybe in the position of finally clearing it for the first time since, on a sustained basis, I should say, clearing it for the first time on a sustained basis since 1990. 1990 is an awfully long time ago, and we have seen just an incredible change in terms of the composition of the market over that period of time. But of course, it is still dominated by the technology sector, and the fact that the Nasdaq is doing so well is also helping to confirm the bullishness behind Taiwan. But then we can also look at Japan, and the Nikkei has been ranging below 20,000 since about 1997, and it has been unable to sustain a move above 20,000 for any significant period of time since 1992. So we're talking about a 25-year inability to clear this level, and it is now at 19,860, and it is looking increasingly likely that it is going to be able to push above this level on this occasion. Now, we had a reasonably firm day today. It was up 200 points, and it's up another 60 on the futures contract. So it is coming back up to this 20,000 level, and that's on the back of better economic growth. There's the possibility that the Japanese economy expanded by 2.2% in the last quarter, and for a country that's been mired in deflationary pressures, that's really quite significant. They're obviously going to be, and what we're seeing is corporate investment in capital expenditure is also increasing. This being Japan, they're going to invest in robots and automation, but with full employment and a lack of labor, they may have to raise wages, and that is perhaps the thing that would contribute most to inflationary pressures, which has been the entire modus operandi of the quantitative easing program from the get-go. The dollar continues to steady around this 110 level versus the yen, and a sustained move below that level would really be required to question that this isn't just a consolidation, and that the dollar is going to firm additionally against the yen from here. And that could be the catalyst to help the Nikkei to break up and out of this very lengthy range. Something that I have been increasingly aware of is this the resumption of the correlation between the fate of the stock market and treasuries. The treasury market was a little bit firmer in here today. It wasn't able to hold all of its gain, but when we look at, for example, long bond futures, they pulled back from the upper side of the range. This range has been in evidence for the last 6 months. It is now coinciding with the region of the trend mean. This is a sort of a do or die moment for these futures. Are they going to be able to sustain a move above the trend mean? It's a very big question. The Fed is almost certainly going to raise rates in June. But I think it's a much bigger question how much more they can raise rates if they are, in fact, serious about shrinking the size of the balance sheet. That is going to have to be a very delicate operation. We know what happened with the ECB when they shaved €1 trillion off their balance sheet. They contributed to deflationary pressures. That's the last thing that the Fed is going to want to do. They're going to come in for a great deal of criticism if they contribute to a deflationary outcome for the US economy. But that then means that it is going to be a very gradual process. And if that's indeed the case, then we could be in a low interest rate environment for the lengthy medium term, that the possibility of interest rates rising in an aggressive manner in the absence of clear evidence of inflation would have to be I think put on the back burner, and that could be an enabling factor for the continued advance of stocks, because if we have such low interest rates, then that does justify having a higher premium on the stock market, just from a simple valuation spread over the bond yield. So there certainly is a lot to think about. I think the UK is also worthy of mention here, because the pound is back at an area of potential support against the euro. It has pulled back over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and not least because of uncertainty with regard to what's going to happen with the election. But it is short-term oversold. It is in the region of a previous low, and there's the potential for some additional upside here. It has been almost completely inert versus the dollar, so it is back to 128 and change, which is coinciding with the region of the trend mean, and it has steadied once more. So we can see against two major currencies that the pound is at an area where it has previously found support. But then when we look at it versus, for example, a commodity currency, then we have evidence that it is bouncing from the region of its trend mean. The pound had fallen significantly against the Canadian dollar over the last year, and with oil prices coming down and increasing questions being asked about how healthy the Canadian banking sector really is, there is a lot of bad news has been priced into the pound, and not very much at all priced into the loonie. So this has been a very clear break in what was a very clear downtrend. So when we look at a number of these currency pairs, the lesson coming through is that we should be prepared for at least some short-term strength in the pound. And when we look at the AIM index, the AIM 100 has been doing spectacularly well. It has been incredibly steady, and we have had week after week of consecutive advances. But it is approaching this psychological 5,000 level. It did pause in the region of 4,000. It paused very briefly in the region of 4,500. And if the pound were to strengthen up, well then, that might be a catalyst for the AIM 100 to take a pause. And when we look at it on the weekly chart, it has been a really quite spectacular breakout over the last year, and that also helps to ram home the point that these smaller companies benefit enormously from the weaker pound. But it also helps to confirm that the domestic economy has been reasonably strong. So despite the media uproar about what the impact of Brexit is likely to be, there isn't any great deal of evidence just yet that it is having a negative impact on the domestic economy. If it were, the AIM 100 would probably not be rallying in such a dynamic manner. When we take a step back and look at some of the other markets, the Australian Banking Index has also been pulling back, and it was in a negative territory again in here today. It is oversold in the short term. It is coming back towards this 8,000 level, and we don't get open high low closes on this index. So, for example, if we look at perhaps one of the larger banks, the fact that we have had such an abrupt pullback, that is, we're now right in the region of where if support is going to be found, well, then this is about where it would be. We're back testing the upper side of the underlying range and the region of the 200-day moving average, and the yield is, and I'm just waiting for that Bloomberg page to come up, is about 9%. So that's a significant payout for bank shares. The banks in the U in Australia represent an enormous weighting in the ASX at 200. So the extent to which that they can find support now, having coming back to the region of the moving average, with the index itself in the region of the moving average, that's this is the big question: is it going to bounce from here? So far, I think we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, unless it were really sustaining a move below the trend mean. So this is a rather interesting area for that market. And when we look at China, it is interesting that, and I really do believe this is very much a political statement. But when we look at what Govan Gwei has been doing, he has been, to a greater or lesser extent, blackmailing the Chinese administration by threatening to release the financial details of a number of very senior party officials, their mistresses and their bibelots. And what is looking increasingly likely today is that the Communist Party caved and gave him what he wanted, which was access to the frozen assets that they had taken from him. And his most recent video has been to renounce everything that he's been saying. So, to me at least, that gives us a very clear indication of just how much is at stake politically for the Chinese administration right now. They cannot afford to have a scandal at the present moment. There are so many positions opening up on the Standing Committee and within the Politburo that there is an enormous competition going on right now to ensure that Xi Jinping retains control of Parliament, retains control of the Standing Committee when those positions are filled. And they're quite clearly willing to do anything to secure that position. And that's probably positive for the stock market, because the last thing they want is another period of a heightened volatility for the stock market. And it has been steady here in the region of the moving average, but it really does need to push back above it to confirm that we're still in this or this progression of incrementally higher reaction lows is going to hold. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.